This is Janet McKean from Caro, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rate. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dumplings. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
The Catskill Food Pantry is located in the Parish Hall of St. Luke's Episcopal Church at 50 William Street in Catskill. The pantry is open to the public every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Healthy food is a right. For more information, please feel welcome to visit the pantry, call us at 551-299-2456, check the website at catskillfoodpantry.org, or connect with us on Facebook at Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of A.L. Steiner and Rachel Burks of Cornwallville, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Wow! What a graduation!
I'll say!
But with college behind us, we'll need careers. And good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in nuclear power.
Hello. And welcome. This is WGXC 90.7, and I'm Stevie. Welcome to the Grandmaster Star Radio Hour. You will be with me for the next hour. This is an audition show, so thank you for tuning in and being here with me. I'm very, very excited to be here, and I feel very grateful to be here. I wish that you guys could see how big I am smiling, because I'm smiling pretty big. So this is my first time back on the radio for several months. So I am, just really glad to be here, and I have a very exciting show for you all today. First up, I'm going to start with some Aretha Franklin. And this is a live version of her singing Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And this was said to have been Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s favorite hymn. And she dedicates this performance to him at the beginning of the performance. And it's a really, really beautiful song. And so since it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, I wanted to play this in honor of him. And I think Aretha never disappoints. So here we go.
In the memory of my father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, I'd like to sing one of his favorites, a song that he'd always request, a song with long, strong arms that rocked him in the cradle of ages. In the memory. Of my father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, I'd like to sing one of his favorites, a song that he'd always request, a song with long, strong arms that rocked him in the cradle of ages. Precious. Lord, take my take my hand.
precious Lord.
Precious Lord, precious Lord.
Lord Jesus, and leave. Lord, lead me on home.
Thank you, Aretha, for that beautiful, beautiful song. I'm just going to move straight along. Next up, I've got an interview from 1990 with David Lynch, from him talking about his film Wild at Heart, one of my favorite films. It's so amazing, and I love David Lynch, and we honored Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday, but it was also David Lynch's birthday, and he recently passed away also, so I would love to honor him today as well. And this interview is really amazing, hearing him kind of break down the movie Wild at Heart and kind of a lot of the background about how it came to be. And he says some really beautiful, beautiful things about it, and he always just had a lot of wisdom. And I appreciated all that he gave us in his time here. So, yeah, this interview's really interesting, and let's check it out.
In life, you never know what's going to come along next. And there's very tender moments, and then there's very violent moments, and then there's confusion and despair, and then suddenly you're in love. So there's got to be room for all these things, you know, in a film.
Can I talk to Lula?
You are not gonna see him ever.
Like hell.
Film, in my mind, should have contrast in it. It should have many, many different kinds of, you know, feelings, you know, all, you know, weaving their way throughout. Along the way, you get some shocking things and some tender things.
You want me to shoot Sailor in the brains with a gun?
You move me, Sail. You really do.
Wild at Heart is a love story that barrels along down a strange highway through the twisted modern world. When I read Barry Gifford's book, I fell in love with Sailor and Lula.
I'd go the far end of the world for you, baby. Oh, you know I would.
Rockin' good news.
Right away, I pictured Laura Dern as Lula and Nicolas Cage as Sailor.
I didn't have much parental guidance.
I was also very lucky and happy about getting Diane Ladd and Willem Dafoe and Harry Dean Stanton, Isabella Rossellini, and so many other great actors for the other parts.
I don't know if you want to, oh, that's really beautiful.
When you're working on anything, you want a magical thing to happen where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. But when, for that to happen, you have to have all the parts just right. And so when you're making a film, you should be involved with, you know, all the different elements.
Watching David, he's the kind of guy that, like today, he was out there painting the iguana sign. And he likes to get his own hands in there and make it happen. people were worried about the sun going down or we wouldn't be able to get the shot, and he just did it. It's that kind of spontaneous stuff that I really dig.
John is saying, yeah, that's good.
When you have a somewhat of an idea and a kind of a thrilling notion that you'd like to start, and then when you go out, you see the actors in their clothes and in their environment, and more ideas start coming, and it gets very real then.
Cut it. Okay, Lula, 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 Lula. At the top of your stretch, I'm going to stretch for the both of us, baby. You take the stretch, you take the thing of it, and you go whack out, and you say, so this is big tuna.
A picture isn't finished until it's, you know, finished. And so it's always going towards something. Some things are dropped off and other things are, you know, grabbed onto.
Now this will be the signal.
Right.
And then one move. And that movie music is over. Okay? And then the rest is Brent's got you.
So I'll bring it up and then...
That's it. Stop. Dead. And quiet. Everybody's going to, you know, stop dancing.
Okay.
And then the rest is up to you, ma'am.
Right.
Are you going to provide me with an opportunity to prove my love to my girl? Or are you going to save yourself some trouble? Step up like a gentleman and apologize to her.
My favorite films make you feel a sense of place and mood, a thing that you want to go back and many times and kind of experience. And music, you know, plays a huge role in creating that sense of place and mood. And so it's extremely important. Another one of those elements that you have to, you know, try to get right so that the whole thing, you know, jumps up into the stratosphere.
It's just shocking sometimes when things aren't the way you thought they were.
It's very, very, you know, fearful to let go of your own personality and take on someone else's. And it takes an awful lot of courage. You have to do this, you know, in an atmosphere of trust.
Parker. There's that trust built in when he's over in the corner seeming like he's contemplating. I don't have to be concerned, like, what is he, you know, thinking? I can ask him, what are you thinking? So there's a real openness.
It's great to work with him. He's very... close to the actor. He's very clear about what the characters have to be. When he directs, he sits very close to the camera, and you always sense his reaction.
What's that?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Dope. You have to have an actor's sense of humor to survive in Big Tuna.
All right. Nice meeting you.
One of the things that I've always been impressed by in David's work is the specific world quality to it. So I just wanted to take a walk in those boots in that world.
Did Bobby peruse a Black Angel sale?
There's no turning back.
What do you want, Mr. Snakeskin?
You have the chance of getting something where, you know, people can see something in the dark that they could never see anywhere else. And it's thrilling to the soul. That's the idea.
This whole world's wild at heart and weird on top.
Treat me like a fool. Treat me mean and cruel, but love me. Bring my faithful heart, tear it all apart, but love me.
Won't you love me?
Wherever you ever go, darling, I'll be old. I'll be sad and blue, crying over you, dear only.
and steel.
Beg and steal.
Just to feel.
Just to feel.
Your heart.
I want your heart.
Beating close to mine.
So close to mine.
Wherever you ever go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely. I'll be sad and blue. Would beg and steal.
He would beg and steal.
Just to feel.
Yes, just to feel.
Your heart.
I want your heart.
Beating close to mine.
So close to mine.
Wherever you ever go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely, begging on my knees. All I ask is please, please love me. Oh yes.
It's just shocking sometimes when things aren't what you thought they were, said Laura Dern, a.k.a. Lulu, in Wild at Heart. I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview that included not only David Lynch, but also Laura Dern, Nicolas Cage, Willem Dafoe, and Isabel Rossellini. I've listened to that interview several times now at this point, and each time I take away something new from it. So, yeah, I hope you took away something from it as well. And happy late birthday, David Lynch. Rest in peace. You will be missed. I'm in the midst of rewatching all of his movies, although I never saw all of his movies. I only saw some of them. So I'm excited to explore all that he created even more, because I really just love everything that I have seen by him. Yeah, so shout out to David Lynch and to everyone in Wild at Heart, because that movie is so awesome and I love it. I played, that was Love Me from Elvis, because in the movie Wild at Heart, the scene where they're out dancing, like moshing at a club, Sailor and Lula is, it's so amazing when Nicolas Cage just like stops the crowd and tells the band, just with like a gesture, and they start playing a gesture, just start playing Love Me from Elvis. And that's like one of my favorite songs in the whole wide world. And David Lynch was also talking about in that interview how music is such an important part of building that experience in film, of like getting into a mood and something that you want to go back to and experience several times. And he couldn't have said it any better, because yeah, did exactly that for me in a lot of his movies. So that was, yeah, Love Me from Elvis. And next up I have some Suburban Lawns. I have been doing a little research on this sort of mysterious mystique of a band from the late 70s, early 80s in the underground LA punk scene. Yeah, I didn't know too much about them, but recently, I can't quite remember how I think that I came across a video, and it was like talking about the LA punk scene in like the early 80s. And yeah, it talked about Suburban Lawns in there, and I was like, whoa, that's so crazy. I didn't know all this stuff about the band, like specifically about the lead singer, Sue Tissue, how... Yeah, like, everyone's like, where are you, Sue Tissue? She, like, fell off the face of the earth, and no one knows if she's alive or not. But yeah, so I kind of got fascinated by her story, which I'll talk a little bit about in a little while. But for now, here is a live performance of Unable from Suburban Lawns at the Deaf Club in 1979. And it's phenomenal. Like, you can see the video, like, if you are interested in seeing the video, it's really amazing what Sue Tissue is wearing. It's just this, like, insane headdress, and she kind of looks like a jester. And with her, like, stage presence, it's just a really, really awesome combo. So here is Unable by Suburban Lawns, and then after that it will move into a bit of a vibe switch, which is some solo music from Sue Tissue, her Salon de Musique, which she made a solo album after the band broke up. So we'll move into that afterwards, but for now, here we go. Currently playing is some solo Sue Tissue, and yeah, this is from her one and only solo album called Salon de Musique, and it's really, really a beautiful, beautiful album, and I think most of it sounds like this. It's just her playing the piano with a little bit of vocals in there. But yeah, so apparently Sue Tissue is like this. Well, first off, if you watch live videos of them performing Suburban Lawns, she's known for her stage performance or presence, because it's like she just looks so uncomfortable on stage, and she doesn't really look up the whole time. She's just like zoned into the microphone. But she's giving out these, like, insane vocals that you would never expect to come from her, like seeing her. And it's just really fascinating. And I long to know more, like the rest of those that wonder what happened to Sue Tissue. Because, yeah, no one really knows. She, after the band broke up, she went on to make this solo album. And then I think she appeared in some movie as like a side character. And after that, it's like no one knows where she is. Like literally no, like, photographic evidence or anything of her anywhere. And it's just pretty wild. I'm like, how did she pull that off? So Sue Tissue, where are you? We're all wondering, but obviously she doesn't want to be found. And I hope that she is living an awesome, amazing life wherever she may be and whatever she is doing. And I thank her for the music she gave us with Suburban Lawns in this beautiful solo album. And I'll read this hilarious comment that I saw under the video for this album, because I thought it was extremely fitting for my show today, so I'll read it. And it goes as, "Good Lord, is this ever good? Was led to this because I was reading about David Lynch, which led me to Peter Ivers, which made me look up the New Wave Theater, then finding Suburban Lawns and a pointer to this album. Now I am a huge fan. I love the internet when it does this kind of thing." I mean, come on, that's like the most amazing comment ever. I thought that was so funny that this person was looking into David Lynch and then they ended up on this album that Sue Tissue did. Because, yeah, I was playing David Lynch earlier in this show, and so it just all kind of aligned really funny. And I agree with what this person says. I love the internet when it does this kind of thing. That's so true. So yeah, this is my shout out to Sue Tissue and to Suburban Lawns, because I am also just a really big fan of that band and all that they put out. So yeah, let's switch the vibe a little. We're gonna move into some Bob Dylan, actually. I recently did go see the movie A Complete Unknown. I was hesitant to go see it, because, I mean, naturally, you know, like, biopics usually frustrate me because they're so dramatized, and I am not looking for that, you know, especially when it's about, like, a musical artist that I'm a really big fan of. I'm looking for facts, but that's not Hollywood, I guess, and they gotta dramatize it, and so I'm learning to just accept that and to see the good in the movie. But what sold me on going to see it was the performance of Timothée Chalamet. He did really an amazing job, and he really wowed me. So I went to go see it. I really enjoyed it. It made me so happy because of the music, like seeing all those songs performed through someone who did such an amazing job of playing the character of Bob Dylan, in my opinion. It was just like, I left the movie theater just like so happy and so giddy and so inspired, you know? I was so inspired, like wanting to be the next Bob Dylan, you know? That's kind of like where I still am. And yeah, I'm a big Bob Dylan fan, and I used to not be. It took me a while to come around to Bob Dylan. Like, I was not into that or folk music at all, really, until the last few years. But now I'm full throttle in that world and am such a fan. So I have chosen this live performance of, I love live performances, if you can't tell. They just have so much character, and you get such a like special one-of-a-kind performance, because live performances are never going to be the same as the last or the same as the next, and that's something I really, really appreciate about live performances. So I chose this live performance of Ballad of a Thin Man, and it's a sort of like someone made this sort of they restored this footage and sound of this performance, so it's a little bit of a collage of, I think, two different performances, maybe. And there's also like an intermission between in the performance of some people saying some things. I think British kids in the 60s that they were interviewing outside of the concert, because this performances are from in England. Anywho, it's a beautiful, beautiful performance. And I chose this song because it's been one that I've been really listening to a lot of lately. It has very intricate lyrics, as a lot of his songs do, and I thought this one was especially interesting because I was so curious, you know, like, where is he coming from in these lyrics? And in another performance that he did of this song several years later, he talks about kind of the behind of the song, and he says that, you know, it was a response to well, he says directly to the crowd, you just get tired of that every once in a while. You just don't want to answer no more questions. And I think that that's pretty encompassing of the song. And yeah, there's more info about it on the web if you care to go look into it. But here is a ballad of a thin man from Mr. Bob Dylan himself.
With a person in the gutter. Well, if that's how he walks in the gutter, I'd rather walk with my head up in the gutter rather than like he is crawling through the bloody gutter, just making a pile out of it. Yeah, he's making a pile out of people. He pretends he's poor, you know. Yeah, that's how I feel.
And sometimes he manages just to hit the right note or to say the right thing. now. His words are good. All his songs are good. He's better than Donovan. And he's better than Elvis Presley, too.
I don't know.
Read a few decent poets. Shakespeare, perhaps.
Well, come on, Uncle.
D'ailleurs, c'est pas dans les trois mousquetaires, c'est dans 20 ans après. Porthos, le grand, le fort, un peu bête. Il n'a jamais pensé de sa vie. Vous comprenez? Alors, une fois, il faut qu'il mette une bombe dans un souterrain pour la faire éclater. Il le fait, place sa bombe, il allume la mèche, puis il sauve naturellement. Et en courant, tout d'un coup, il se met à penser. Il pense à quoi? Il se demande comment il est possible qu'il puisse mettre un pied devant l'autre. Ça vous est arrivé aussi, sans doute. Hein? Alors il s'arrête de courir, de marcher, il ne peut plus avancer. Tout explose, le souterrain lui tombe dessus, il le retient avec ses épaules, il est assez fort, mais finalement, au bout d'un jour, deux jours, je ne sais pas, il est écrasé, il meurt. En somme, la première fois qu'il a pensé, il en est mort.
Pourquoi vous nous racontez des histoires comme ça?
Comme ça, un peu pour parler.
Pourquoi est-ce qu'il faut toujours parler? Moi, je trouve que très souvent, on devrait vivre en silence. Plus on parle, plus les mots ne veulent rien dire.
Peut-être, mais est-ce qu'on peut? J'ai toujours été frappé par ceci, c'est qu'on ne peut pas vivre sans parler.
Pourtant, ça serait agréable de vivre sans parler.
Oui, ça serait beau, hein. Ça serait beau, hein. Seulement, c'est pas possible. On n'y est jamais arrivé.
Exactement ce qu'on veut dire. Est-ce qu'ils nous trahissent?
Il y a ça, mais nous les trahissons aussi. On doit pouvoir arriver à dire ce qu'on a à dire, puisqu'on arrive à bien écrire. Enfin, c'est tout de même extraordinaire qu'un bonhomme comme Platon, on puisse encore tout de même le comprendre. C'est vrai qu'on le comprend, on peut le comprendre. Et pourtant, il a écrit en grec il y a 2500 ans. Enfin, personne ne sait plus la langue de cette époque-là. C'est pas vrai, on ne sait plus exactement. Pourtant, il en passe quelque chose, donc on doit arriver à bien s'exprimer. Et il le faut.
Et pourquoi faut-il s'exprimer? Pour se comprendre?
Il faut qu'on pense. Pour penser, il faut parler. On ne pense pas autrement. Et pour communiquer, il faut parler. C'est la vie humaine.
Oui, mais en même temps, c'est très difficile. Moi, je trouve que la vie devrait être facile, au contraire. Vous voyez, votre histoire des trois mousquetaires, c'est peut-être très très beau. Mais c'est terrible.
C'est terrible, oui, mais c'est une indication. Je crois qu'on arrive à bien parler que quand on a renoncé à la vie pendant un certain temps. C'est presque le prix.
Mais là, de parler, c'est mortel.
Oui, mais parler, c'est presque une résurrection par rapport à la vie, en ce sens que quand on parle, c'est une autre vie que quand on ne parle pas. Vous comprenez? Et alors, pour vivre en parlant, il faut avoir passé par la mort de la vie sans parler. Vous voyez, je ne sais pas si je m'explique bien, mais il y a une sorte d'assaise, en somme, qui fait qu'on ne peut bien parler que quand on regarde la vie avec détachement.
Autant la vie de tous les jours, on ne peut pas la vivre avec,
avec détachement. Oui, mais alors on balance, justement, c'est pour ça qu'on va du silence à la parole. On balance entre les deux, parce que c'est le mouvement de la vie qui est que on est dans la vie quotidienne et puis on s'en élève vers une vie, appelons-la supérieure, c'est pas bête de le dire, parce que c'est la vie avec la pensée. Mais cette vie avec la pensée suppose qu'on a tué la vie trop quotidienne, la vie trop élémentaire.
Oui, mais... est-ce que penser et parler, c'est pareil?
Je le crois. C'était dit dans Platon, remarquez. C'est une vieille idée. Mais je crois qu'on ne peut pas distinguer dans la pensée ce qui serait la pensée et les mots pour l'exprimer. Analyser la conscience, vous n'arriverez pas à saisir autrement que par des mots un moment de pensée.
Parler, alors, c'est un peu risqué de mentir.
Oui, parce que le mensonge, c'est un des moyens de la recherche, je crois. Il y a peu de différence entre la menteur, l'erreur et le mensonge.
Évidemment,
on ne parle pas du mensonge cru, ordinaire, qui fait que je vous dis, je viendrai demain à 5 heures, puis je ne viens pas parce que je n'ai pas voulu venir demain à 5 heures. Vous comprenez, ça, c'est des trucs. Mais le mensonge subtil,
c'est souvent très peu distinct d'une erreur. Quelque chose on cherche, et puis on ne trouve pas le mot juste. Et c'est ce que vous disiez tout à l'heure, c'est pour ça que ça vous arrivait de ne plus savoir quoi dire, c'est parce qu'à ce moment-là, vous aviez peur de ne pas trouver le mot juste. Moi, je crois que c'est ça.
Oui, mais comment être sûr d'avoir trouvé le mot juste?
Ben, il faut travailler. Ça vient qu'à la force, quoi. Dire ce qu'il faut, de façon à ce que ça soit juste, c'est-à-dire que ça ne blesse pas, que ça dise ce qu'il faut dire, que ça fasse ce qu'il faut que ça fasse, sans blesser, sans meurtrir.
Oui, au fond, il faut essayer d'être de bonne foi. Une fois, quelqu'un m'a dit, la vérité est en tout, et même un peu dans l'erreur.
C'est vrai, c'est ce qu'on n'a pas vu tout de suite en France, je crois, au XVIIe siècle, quand on a cru qu'on pouvait éviter l'erreur, non seulement le mensonge, mais l'erreur, qu'on pouvait vivre dans la vérité comme ça directement. Je crois que c'est pas possible, que pourquoi il y a eu Kant, il y a eu Hegel, la philosophie allemande, c'est pour nous ramener dans la vie, à savoir nous faire accepter qu'il faut passer par l'erreur pour arriver à la vérité.
Et qu'est-ce que vous pensez de l'amour ?
Il a fallu qu'on introduise le corps, et vous avez qu'à voir, Leibniz a introduit le contingent, les vérités contingentes à côté des vérités nécessaires, c'est la vie quotidienne, et de plus en plus, voilà ce qui s'est développé dans la philosophie allemande, c'est-à-dire qu'on pense dans la vie avec les servitudes de la vie, les erreurs de la vie, et puis il faut se débrouiller avec ça. C'est vrai.
Est-ce que l'amour ne devrait pas être la seule chose vraie?
Oui, mais il faudrait que l'amour soit tout toujours vrai. Or, est-ce que vous connaissez quelqu'un, vous, qui sait tout de suite ce qu'il aime? C'est pas vrai, quand vous avez 20 ans, vous ne savez pas ce que vous aimez. Vous savez des bribes. Vous attrapez, dans votre expérience, vous dites, j'aime ceci. C'est souvent mélangé, mais pour arriver à vous constituer entièrement avec simplement ce que vous aimez, il faut la maturité. C'est-à-dire, il faut la recherche. C'est ça la vérité de la vie. C'est pourquoi l'amour est une solution, mais à la condition qu'il soit vrai.
Again, currently playing and was playing the whole time was Going Home from Alice Coltrane, and over top of that was a clip from the film Vivre sa vie from Jean-Luc Godard, and yeah, I was mixing it with Going Home from Alice Coltrane. And for those of you that don't understand French, I'd love to tell you a little bit about what was being said in that little clip. So that clip is from the movie Vivre sa vie, and it was between the main character Nana and what is called the unwitting philosopher. That's who the male voice was that you heard. And they go through this whole roller coaster of many different topics, mostly philosophical. And it's really beautiful what they discuss in their short encounter. That song from Alice Coltrane has been something really of importance to me lately. It's like such a beautiful song, and I love Alice Coltrane. And I was just messing around yesterday and put the two of those together, the clip from the movie and then the song, and it just meshed together so well. So I'm happy to bring that on here today. Yes, but what they were discussing, Nana, the main character, was talking about how words are hard and how sometimes you think you know what you want to say, but then when the moment comes, you have nothing to say, and that she thinks life should be easy, and that it should be easy to speak and to speak freely. And so they kind of go into talking about why maybe it's not so easy, and they say to speak well is to see life with detachment, and then going back and forth between silence and speaking is the movement of life, essentially, is what this philosopher is saying to her. And they kind of end the conversation. She says to him, well, what about love? And he says, to be completely at one with what you love takes maturity and experience, and that love is the solution on the condition that it is true. And yeah, I just thought that was really beautiful. And I really enjoyed watching that film as well. I'm a big fan of that director. Yeah, he's got a lot of good films out there. So this, yeah, thank you all for being here today with me on the Grandmaster Star Radio Hour here on WGXC 90.7. It was such a pleasure being here, and I hope to come back and, yeah, share some more of my inner world with you guys and talk about all the things, epiphanies and love and words and how they can be hard, and passions and all the weird things out there. So, yeah, thanks for tuning in today. I'm gonna end today's show with some Odetta, and it's her song Hit or Miss, and I feel like it's extremely encompassing of, you know, kind of what Grandmaster Star Radio Hour partly stands for, which is, you know, being the grandmaster of your life, being yourself, hit or miss, which is what she talks about in this amazing song. So yeah, happy Wednesday, happy day. Hope you're staying warm out there. It's absolutely freezing here in upstate New York. Still getting used to that. Cheers and ciao. See you when I see you.
Everybody say, be everybody else, can't you see?